I'm talking to Leslie Long here in Enniskillen, and we're in your office in what department? Or
DERA, Department of Agriculture and Rural Development.
How long have you been here?
I have been here for some 30-odd years.
So you know the place pretty well, do you?
Know the place reasonably well.
Sorry, you know the place fairly well?
Know the place fairly well, yes.
Where was your father born and brought up?
My father was born in County Leitrim in 1928, just not long after the establishment of the Southern State. Things were quite difficult at that particular time for, I suppose, for everybody down there, but probably the Protestant community maybe would have felt more under pressure. So his father and the family, he had 9 siblings.
This is your grandfather?
This is my father.
Oh, your father had 9 siblings, yeah.
My father had 9 siblings.
Yeah.
And at that time, my grandfather moved the family across the border into Northern Ireland.
For the same reason as your father had to move up to Enniskillen, is it?
Well, not maybe particularly. I mean, there was no threat on the family. It was just the difficulties of getting children educated and getting work for them. And the Southern State had just been formed. And economically, it was a very difficult time in the South because they were just beginning to start to find their feet. After partition, what was 1922? He would have been born then 6 or 7 years
after. What was your grandfather's name?
My grandfather was called George Long.
And so did George, and your grandmother, it was?
My grandfather, never, I can't remember my grandmother. She was called Alice Long, and they moved to Garrison.
All right, okay, so, but they were farming in what part of Leitrim?
North Leitrim, Kinloch Village. Do you know Kinloch Village?
I do, yes.
Yes, just outside that. In fact, I visited it at the homestead in last year, about a year ago.
So there was no sectarianism in that, was there?
No, there was no pressure as such to move out, but at that particular time, it was a period when a lot of Protestants moved out of the South, moved to America, moved to England, moved into Northern Ireland.
But that because there was a threat?
I'm not aware that there was a threat, no. I know it was my grandfather would have told me things in 1920s, 21s, and particularly through the Irish Civil War. Was that 21, 22?
22.
Would have been a very difficult time down the border, although that they would regard themselves not involved in that conflict because it was between the Irish Free State Army and the Republicans. But nonetheless, I suppose they lived through the difficulties of that. But no, there was no threat. There was nobody came like this physically to hear or move out. I think it was a decision that families made that there wasn't a future in the South of Ireland for them, that they better move north or move to England or move to Canada, as a number of them, as a number of families did.
But so, in fact, how do you see, because your background is Irish, is Southern Irish,
yes,
how do you see yourself now?
Well, I see myself as, I mean, I'm happy to call myself Northern Irish, but I see me very much as British. I mean, that's all I know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Where were you brought up now, tell me?
I was brought up, I spent the first 16 years of my life on a small farm about 3 miles outside the village of Garrison on the west side of Fermanagh.
Okay.
And we moved in here when I was 16 years of age due to the ongoing troubles in that particular area. My father was a member of the security forces.
What was your father's name?
My father's name was William Long. We moved into Enniskillen way back in 1972 after the death of a neighbour through terrorist action.
What was your neighbour's name?
The man was killed was called Johnny Fletcher, known more in the public arena as Thomas Fletcher. He was the second member of the Ulster Defence Regiment to be killed in County Fermanagh. He suffered a horrific death. He was apprehended by 4 armed and masked men on his way to work. He worked for the Forestry Service. He was apprehended on his way to work. He was taken back to his house to be spoke to his wife. They took his weapon and they assured her that all they wanted was cover, to get back across the border. So he then was marched down the lane towards the border. But unfortunately, when they got to the border, they didn't let him go. They all took part and they shot him. He was shot some 40 times. Suffered a horrific death on that morning. So that's the onset of the Troubles as far as I was concerned. We were aware that there was unsettled times, as it were, but that brought it home to most people. Unfortunately, the part we lived in straddled the border for miles, and the advice at that time was that anybody in the forces in that particular area should move out, as it were, to safer areas.
I see. So it was not so much a threat, but your father felt safer by moving the family to Enniskillen.
Well, that was the guidance at that time. That was the advice, to move to Enniskillen, which was way away from the border, 13 miles off the border, and it would have been regarded as a much more safer area. Big difficulties, of course, was my father was a farmer, so obviously all the animals had to be taken out to market and sold, which was a very traumatic time for my mum and dad. Both of them are now deceased. Very, very difficult time for them that time. I was at secondary school in Enniskillen, so it didn't impact on school life as such. But younger members of my family were at primary school, so it was an issue for them because they had to move schools.
Yeah.
So very difficult time for the family and for the other families in the area that had to move as well.
Okay, and this is because your father was in insecurity forces and because he was a Protestant farmer, isn't he?
Well, very much so. The campaign that was in the border areas was essentially a very sectarian campaign. It was directed very much at the Protestant community. Many Catholics suffered in the Troubles as well, both at the hands of loyalist paramilitaries and indeed at the Provisional IRA, who shot more Catholics than ever the security forces shot. Maybe that's a statistic for you. But, yes.
How do you make that out?
Sorry?
How do you make that out?
Because that's the statistics. Because the statistics are available to show how many Catholic people were killed by the IRA. Many of them, maybe some of them were in the organisation that were shot. Others of them were shot for different reasons. Maybe they regarded them as informers or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So that was it. So that was the area. But in that particular area, it would have been very much border areas in Fermanagh, that area in particular, would have been very strongly Catholic. Yeah. But the relationships with the Catholic neighbours were very, very good.
Yeah.
And indeed, after we moved to Enniskillen, we didn't have any problems because my father held on to the land, farmed it, set it for a couple of years, sort of farmed it on a very small basis, you know, just basically kept the thing going. And I have a younger brother now who is actually living on the holding.
Oh, so even though the family moved out, the farm was never sold?
The farm was never sold.
Oh, I see.
The farm was never sold. When my younger brother, when he became of age, he's working this BFs.
Yeah.
He's working in Enniskillen here as well, but he farms the farm now and lives out there.
Okay. Did you ever join the security forces yourself?
I never joined the security forces myself. One of the reasons being that it didn't join, well, I suppose my father got so much difficulties for him in it. I'm not saying it put me off, but I was 16 years of age at that time. The responsibility partly held for me when he started to farm it again. Animals had to be looked after, fodder had to be got and different things. And I would have attended, as well as my job, I would have took part in that work on the family farm.
Okay.
Yeah, although I continued living in Enniskillen. It's a journey of about 20-odd miles.
Right.
And out.
Was your father ever caught up in the Troubles itself? Was he killed? He wasn't killed. But
no.
Was he in any way injured?
He might have had a few skirmishes when he was actually serving in the forces. But he had no injuries as such. He would have come under attack on a few occasions. But in a civilian, most members of the Ulster Defence Regiment and were killed off duty. They weren't killed when they were on duty, as was the case that I quoted to you there.
Yeah.
And that was very much the case in County Fermanagh.
All right. Yeah. But there was never a threat to you or to your family by way of letter or call? Or
we never got any threats or anything like that. There was activities going on virtually on a weekly basis. A lot of gun battles along the border. We would have experienced that, you know, not part of them, but would hear the shots going across the border. Terrorists opening fire on the forces, or forces returning the fire. That would have been a fairly regular occurrence in the late part of 1971 and up until we left the area in 1972.
I see.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about being this sectarian divide that was there? How do you feel about that?
Well, we... I suppose the sectarian divide was there. The Ulster Defence Regiment, the OUC, was open to all members of the community. Very few Catholics would have joined the UDR, some did. Very few would have joined the OUC. That was probably maybe for historical reasons, but probably as well there was very much intimidation involved for any that joined it. I mean, you see the same thing with the PSNI now.
Yeah.
There's been two or three PSNI officers have been murdered since the PSNI was set up. My understanding is that I think they're all of the Catholic faith, and there's a particular reason for that, was to keep them from joining. And it is having an impact. Obviously, if you're going to be under threat, it doesn't help recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, there was differences, but people in rural communities in that time got on very well together. I mean, if you were a farmer in that area, you helped your neighbour and he helped you. If you had a difficulty, you went to your neighbour. You didn't ask him where he hung his hat on a Sunday. It was something that I was brought up with, to know my neighbours from. It was knee-high to a grasshopper. And that hasn't changed even after we moved to Enniskillen. And I mean, obviously in my job here, I'm working with people that are of different faiths and all that. So, I mean, I don't hold any... I mean, my politics is unionist.
Yeah.
I'm unashamed about that. But that doesn't stop me being friends with anybody else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about this place, your business in the agricultural...
Yes, well, I'm an office supervisor here in the ski house, one of them.
What did you come in as?
I came in as administrative officer. I'm now, I've been executive officer here for a number of years.
Yeah.
We have sections here, and I have a section, and I'm responsible for about 10 staff.
And so when you came in first, the building itself was...
Well, I worked in Belfast for a number of years before I moved to Enniskillen.
Oh, I see.
It was a natural thing, sort of start off in Belfast, and then you waited until there was an opportunity came forward where you would move back to your own area if that was your sole wish. And it was my wish when I was in Belfast, to come back to the area that I was born and reared in.
What year did you come back to?
I came back, I think, in 1979, 1980.
To here?
Yes.
The height of the troubles still going on?
Absolutely. Very, very difficult period in the 1980s.
And in here, in your workplace, how was the tension
maybe when odd instance takes place, but you have to bear in mind we work for the government. It's very important. You don't discuss religion. You don't discuss politics.
Yeah.
You're in here to serve the public, your customer, your customer base, all sides of the community. So I know a lot of people right across this county because we're responsible basically for Fermanagh. Dealing with farmers and dealing with their queries, and different
would you
issues.
Say that, but did you ever sense, that there would be more benefits for those who possibly were from a different persuasion, or how? I mean, tension in that sense. You know that you've got your. Colleague outside is Catholic, and you realise that that your neighbour was killed. Do you paint? It's pretty hard to put the question to you, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but you see, I'm deployed as a civil service in the government. My job is to be scrupulously fair in all aspects of my job. And I try to do that with staff and with customers. And I would like to think that I have carried that through.
But is there politics in here? That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't think you could say. I mean, people have their own interest. People are interested of people in the GAA. They speak up in the GAA. Doesn't concern me. People may belong to a band, a flute band or a thing band. They might speak about that. But there's very much a barrier. There's very much you don't speak about that. I mean, we take a note. I've signed a declaration for you. I mean, I take a declaration that I be scrupulously fair, and I don't take part in active politics. You don't speak about religion in your work, yeah, unless on a friendly, maybe, discussion basis, but you certainly don't get involved in a debate.
Yeah.
And, that's what we have to do. Maybe those times it was difficult. I mean,
was there? No, yeah, that's what I want
well,
to
say. I mean, the Enniskillen bomb would have been a very traumatic time here in Enniskillen. And that was delivered. People who are seen to be, and there's nobody in here that I'm aware of, but like this, you may be odd customers, people who seem to be actively associated with Sinn Féin. Well, it wasn't easy dealing with those people at that time, I would say, probably out there in the community. That would have been a difficult time. But thankfully, things got we got over that reasonably well. But it was a difficult time. And things could have been very, very difficult at that time. It could have been very polarised in the community. I mean, we did at that time.
Did you experience that? Did you experience that polarisation?
Well, personally, no, I had nobody, there was no insults or anything like that. I never had anybody said anything to me about anything like that from the other community, either at work here or at... Or as a customer or somebody that I'm dealing with. Yeah. Never had any difficulties with that because I tried to keep it separate from what I do. I mean, I'm here to serve the public.
Yeah.
And I like to think that that's what I do.
Yes.
It's a difficult one.
But
polarisation. Mm. I mean, the communities are probably as polarised now. There's nobody been killed now, and we have to be thankful for that. But, you know, the last election that you referred to, the Tom Elliott lost his seat. I mean, that was an extremely polarised election. It is a big disappointment that so many people put their eggs for Sinn Féin when they have alternatives.
Yeah.
They don't have to vote for a unionist. But there are alternatives. That is a disappointment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to try and get my head around the awfulness of living in that terror, you know, I mean, it was. Did you feel afraid at any stage or scared?
Well, as I say, in the 80s, my father set the farm for 2-3 years after we moved. Mid-70s, maybe things in Fermanagh sort of picked up a little bit, and he would have went down not very much, but when I came back to work, I was a student for a term, so I could go down. And certainly there were times when it was concerning. It was also very, very concerning because your father was in the forces. He was basically a target 24/7, not just when he put on the uniform. So you were very concerned from him, from his point of view. And that was a very difficult situation. And
was he full time?
Oh no, he was a part time man.
Part-time
and then eventually he went full time when he moved to Enniskillen.
Yeah,
he was in it for a few years, and then he retired from it when he came 60 years of age. He'd have been probably in it maybe 10-15 years. You know,
is he still alive?
No, my father's deceased. He's dead now, nearly 10 years.
Oh, what was his feelings about how things were going?
Well, he was extremely annoyed that. That he had to move away. It was very traumatic. You know, he was a farmer by nature. He was only in the forces as a part-time basis. And that was a big difficulty for him, trying to get used to living in a town when you'd been living in the country all your life. And he would have been concerned about it. A very difficult period in the early 80s during the hunger strikes. Very difficult for unionist community in this county because the whole thing was being ratcheted up. And very, very polarised time during the Sands hunger strikes and basically on to the Enniskillen bomb.
Yes.
So the 80s was certainly in a difficult period. And I was working here. I was sickly impartial. But
that's what I'm saying. You went around with your head down. You'd rather not say anything or to draw trouble.
No, well, you see, one of the things that I could be here, I couldn't be active. Yes. I am a member of the... You know Tom Mellett. I don't know whether you... I'm a member of the Ulster Unionist Party for years and years. We tried to be a party, moderate unionism, trying to reach an accommodation with the other community. And the party, it's quite annoying to me, the party made big concessions in 1988 to bring power sharing in, and we have suffered as a party, suffered very, very badly from it. I mean, our support base has been very, very badly hit, and yet the things that we were successful for in 1988 and got through, very difficult things for us, like changes to policing, release of prisoners, this party has never got over that because we lost a lot of support within the community. But now we find even the 1988 agreement, more has been requested. I mean, the important point to make is I have no problem with Irish language. My father could speak Irish because he went to school in the south. He could speak a bit of Irish, but there was no Irish Language Act in the 1988 agreement. Maybe people are not aware of that, but it was definitely not in it. There was money went for Irish schools, more money for Irish schools, and it did get a recognition, but not in the terms of an Irish Language Act. That is now what's now preventing the institutions getting back up again. So that's quite annoying now. You know, sacrifices were made, concessions were made, yet we're back where we started. People are looking for more.
Yeah. That's a good point.
That's a difficult one for me. The party that we supported for years. The commitments given on the Belfast Agreement were honoured. Every dot, every I was dotted, every T was crossed by the Unionist Party. But yet, still not enough.
I understand, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're bitter about that?
Bitter about those things. I don't think people underestimate the changes to policing in 1988 was such a difficult one for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did canvassing for the party, even around this town that time, even though I'm a... And we certainly got it on the doorsteps from our support base. And the release of prisoners. 2 years. And of course that was prisoners on both sides. Boys there should have never been let out. There was that much evil. Again, we got and we were electorally badly, very badly damaged as a consequence of that. But we did it. And I reckoned we did the right thing. Mm-hmm. Because we got the two communities together, we got everybody in Stormont. Now I'm beginning to doubt, did we do the right thing? Because since the institutions went down, there's going to have to be more concessions made to get them back up again.
Yes, yes.
And that's what that's the way I feel. So I am bitter about that.
That is
a big issue now, because as I said, if we'd held our ground in 1988, if David Trimble had said no surrender in 1988, the Unionist Party would still be on top of the three.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's a difficult one.
So the you saw a gradual improvement of Sinn Féin over the years.
Absolutely.
Here in the north, and
yeah,
they
in the south.
In the south, but here in the north as well, mm-hmm, that they have taken a higher position.
Absolutely.
Is that something that you think is not good, or is it?
I would think it's not good. I don't think there are any benefit here. They haven't helped here, and I'll tell you this: they're not helping the south either. Although I see their poll rating isn't picking up that much in the South. So I always tend to look the positive thing in the South, that 80% of the people in the South don't vote for them. Rather than the 20% that do around that anyway. No, I think it's going to be very difficult for us to, as our politicians say, is we try to get a working relationship with them. We can never be friends with them.
Yeah.
Because of what happened in the past.
So this reconciliation, do you think it'll ever... Could you see yourself in the same room with some of these people who possibly caused that terrible incident that happened in your own hometown?
No. Those people have never come forward to admit their guilt. There's never been any remorse for it. There's been no condemnation from the Sinn Féin organisation for what happened in Enniskillen, or indeed for all the hundreds of other crimes that were out. And you see, there's no point. We're going to move to the future, yet every Easter they're holding commemorations for gays that were killed, as they would term them, killed in action. Well, it wouldn't mean we know what they were at. And we reckon that we'll get them into government, we'll keep a bit of control on them, it gives them a bit of responsibility. But that was an extremely difficult situation for the unionists to agree to. And by and large, we agreed to it. But we're back now. We're back 20, 30 years now in the process, because I certainly can see no way around the problem that there is at the minute. Because there's no way Arlene Foster can back down. And Sinn Féin have their people built up that they can't back down either. And there seems to be no compromise around it. So I just don't know what is going to happen. But it's not good for Northern Ireland at any rate. We believe that I would have been strongly of the opinion we needed a devolved government here. We made concessions to get that devolved government. It certainly was imperfect, but it was the best that we have had, but we don't have it now.
And so the agricultural offices here have, as you say, members from both sides of the community working here. You're working in...
We're working here. There's a good rapport among staff. There's no question about that. Certain times of the year we will socialise. I mean, there's no issue. We put that to one side. And I suppose you could say there hasn't been any trouble now since the 90s. So you're talking the last 20 years. There's been political turmoil, but there's been no shootings. So that obviously is a good help in relationship. But there's still, on the political ground, still the two communities are still very polarised.
Yes. It's not an easy one, really, is it, no. Leslie? You know, I can see you were damaged. You were, in a way, I suppose you're a victim of the terrible troubles, because it left a mark on people.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I did.
It's something you have to live with. And
this generation, the generation coming up now, were born in the 90s. They haven't experienced what we experienced. So it may well be different. Don't know yet. But those of us that were around in the 70s and the 80s, we have experienced what it's like.
Okay.
But, I mean, having said that, I mean, I can't speak... I definitely don't speak ill Catholic colleagues in here. Neighbours in that particular area where I was born and reared, those people now, a lot of them are part of my customer base in here. Know them very well. Regard them as friends and colleagues, even though I'm sure politically we don't think the same. But I mean, that's the way you have to go forward.
Yeah.
And that's the way I look at it. Although I am quite annoyed at the way the political thing has developed in the last year. Mm. Now, I can't say that Arlene Foster's, she has to share her responsibility for that as well. She definitely did not handle it. Well, she handled it, indeed, in my view, she handled it very, very badly, that whole RHI thing. Because I think she's let the genie out of the bottle.
Listen, it's been lovely talking to you, and there is a sense of sectarianism is still right, though. You know, you can still feel it.
There's no question that it's not ripe, because sectarianism is there. You only have to look at the way people vote, how people vote, and that's a manifestation of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Leslie Long, thank you. Thank you very much indeed. So, Leslie, could you tell me your feelings about the political movement of Sinn Féin as they've grown over the years?
Well, I think it's a great disappointment to the people here in Northern Ireland to see Sinn Féin approaching 20% of the electorate in the south. This is a party that continues to eulogise terrorists and talk about great heroes for Ireland. We know what the heroes for Ireland did in this country. They were nothing more than people that was filled with sectarian hate, carried out different crimes, serious crimes, and the consequences of that are still there today. And there can be no reconciliation in this community as long as Sinn Féin hold the electoral strength that they have. They're a barrier to progress in Northern Ireland. They're a barrier to progress between Northern Ireland and the South. And they're a serious problem on the political scene in the whole of Ireland.
I can see you're very animated by all of this. You're very angry.
Yes, we're very angry with that, because we've seen what happened in the past month. We thought we had moved on. But when we saw the Michael Duff interview and we saw the response to that from Sinn Féin representatives, and we saw the way the party tried to brush it under the carpet, and they were only concerned when the media took hold of it in the south of Ireland, and they were afraid of their support base, and that was the only reason. And I mean, they have no regrets, it would appear, about what happened in this country and the harm that they have done and the way they have decimated communities, and that point has not got across to them. Whether they want to take that or not is another thing, but that is a major problem. And I think it's going to be extremely difficult to get institutions running here in Northern Ireland again, because there is such a lack of trust and a detestation of Sinn Féin right across the unionist community.
So then, could you tell me your stance on the way you feel about being Irish? Do you have a sense of Irishness in you, or do you feel British or Ulster Scots?
Well, probably my culture is British. I mean, we support the Northern Ireland football team. I mean, if I'm watching a rugby match, I'm Irish. Maybe reluctantly, but because there's so many Northern Ireland born players in it, I want to see the team doing well. And when you say Irish, probably I don't see myself as Irish, certainly not Irish in the sense that as a nationalist would see himself as Irish, because the way we look at it, that when they talk about, when the nationalist politicians talk about Irish, they mean that you have to be a nationalist and believe in an All-Ireland. And I think that's what puts people off here describing themselves as Irish. Some people do describe themselves as Northern Irish. I've heard it described, I am Irish by birth, but British by choice. I'm not so sure that I would be comfortable with that, but I know there are some unionists who would that. But I would see myself as Northern Irish and British, not Ulster Scots. We in Fermanagh, I don't think, would identify with that Ulster Scots. That's more of an Eastern Northern Ireland, and of course in East Donegal.
Yeah.
And sort of my roots, so my father's roots would have been in the south of Ireland.
Of course, yes, indeed, yeah. Well, thanks again, Leslie.